All right, we have... I actually did a little bit of the homework. Generally, people ask questions. I say I have to look into it, and then I forget during the following week. A couple of the more difficult questions that came up, I did look up, and as a matter of fact, in one of them, I have to retract a little bit. I mentioned to you last week, and probably once before, that Rav Moshe has a tshuva, that if you're in a restaurant that doesn't tevel the kelim, well, you go to a frayid who doesn't tevel his kelim, and he gives you food, so you have to take the food out of the plate and put it on the table and eat it off the table. And if it's soup, there's no eitzah. I looked up the Igros Moshe, which is hard to find, because it's the end of a different tshuva, but it's in Yeridei Chelek Gimel. Oh boy, I didn't jot down the Maramakim, but I think it's Seif Simin Chaf Aleph or Chaf Beis. It's a shaila has to do with other things, other in Yanu of Tevilas Kalim, and it's the last paragraph. And if you read the Lashon carefully, it's not precisely as I said. He says, if you're eating, he does say, if you're eating by a frayid, and he gives you the food in a soup bowl, so there's no eitzah. A soup bowl meaning a metal soup bowl or a glass soup bowl. So he says, there's no eitzah, so what are you going to do? He says, if it's something that's in a plate, so he says, you can eat from it with a utensil that doesn't need tefillah. Now, the language is unclear as to whether he means you remove it. He doesn't say eat from it, he says remove it. But it's not clear, does he mean you have to remove it all and put it on the table, eat off the table? Maybe you can eat it a piece at a time off the plate. And I'll give you an example. Let's say you get a gift, a tray of chocolates. So the store doesn't tevel it. The store holds its clay schaira. They don't tevel it. So you got a silver tray with chocolates on it. Now, once you receive it, that silver tray is chayv in tefillah. Now it's a kli suda. Now, the question is, are you obligated to pour out all the chocolates right away? Or maybe more inviting, eat them all bevasacha somehow. Or can you just put it on the table? Look, you have to take them out. You put it on the table and you'll take them out one at a time as you eat it. So it is not clear from the tshuva itself which one Rav Moshe is referring to. The reason I understood it that way is because Rav Moshe says about soup that there's no eitzah. If you don't have another utensil, there's no eitzah. What does he mean? If you have a china bowl, you can pour it into the china bowl and eat it from there. But here in this glass bowl, there's no eitzah. Why is there no eitzah? Eat it a spoonful at a time. So it seems to me that Rav Moshe is saying that you shouldn't use it as a kli suda. You have to remove it all in one shot. And maybe that is what he means. But I can't say for certain that that's what it means. If someone will tell me, no, he means something else, I can't prove it exactly from his lashon. Poit chazim ha'am adabar, people get trays with chocolates in them, and they don't just pour it out in a tray. It's a pretty tray, and people eat from it. So I'm not sure. What? Well, yeah, except you have to remember, most homes, they serve soup in a bowl that's made of china or some other utensil, which at least is a sofik if it needs tefillah. It's a little more kulidik. It's only where they have metal bowls nobody uses today. There are glass bowls, and it's only something like a glass bowl with a shiloh.
Someone can't tell you that there are some rock holes. There's something that's all okay with any corporation.
Isn't really, so I want to get to that. There was another thing that I looked up. One second. Yes?
You can start with the plate. Is that plate? You don't really need a plate for a solid food. So you can just take it off one at a time, but you don't need it.
What bothers me is that you are using it as a storage plate in the meantime. Or as a serving plate in the meantime. And we hold that a storage... You didn't put it in. It's true. So that's where there's mukkah for a suffix. It's coming to you. And now, in my house, I'm using it as such a storage plate. I'll tell you the truth. It seems that way because you get a glass bottle of grape juice. So Ramay shows this b'chal nachayiv in tefillah. There are those who hold that if you want to reuse it, you have to table it. What about the first use? When you get it in the... You get a glass bottle of grape juice. We never heard they have to pour it all out. So apparently you can take it and use it as you use it. Rav Palm held not to rely on the kula of reusing glass kalim, And he said he was machmir that he wouldn't pour back wine into the glass kli, into the glass bottle. In other words, the glass bottle is now chayiv in tefillah. So you have to pour it out. So yeah, you can pour it out every week. You use 2-3 cups. But when you're pouring it back, now you're using it as a kli, then that's a problem.
And how's that different than the soup?
How's that different than the soup? That's a good question. So it seems Ramesha, it seems, meant to take it all out of one shot. I can't say for certain. Maharamakim Ani Loch, except I didn't get the exact Maharamakim. See the Tshuva Chafala for Chav Beis in Nigris Maisha. And I'm just, like a part of my homework, I'm just coming back and telling you that it's not clear to me what you do b'di'evet. If you get food on a plate, a metal tray, or something that's not tabled, you have to remove it, whether you can remove it a piece of a forkful at a time, that means eat it, or whether you're really obligated to remove the whole thing in one shot.
Yeah. It seems to me that if one is in a situation where they're invited to someone's house,
right,
and the person goes out of the way to get kosher food, whatever, I'm not talking about meat, I'm talking like candies or something like
right
that, you see, and he puts it on a plate and you know it clearly wasn't tabled.
Right.
He said, the issue of embarrassing the person is certainly as a deraisa.
No, that's not true. Someone gives you treifis. Let's say we use it as treif midrabanan. Let's say it's treif midrabanan. So you'll eat it, so you don't want to embarrass him. No.
No.
You have to tell him in a nice way that you don't, you're not eating it. That's
I
all.
I think if there's a suffix, then.
Okay, Mark holds it could be over midrabanan to not embarrass someone. He's a tzaddik. He doesn't embarrass anybody. But I don't think you can. If it's a machloikis, you want to be saimich, so that's the rule. If you have a dasi yachid to rely on, I'd agree. But if it's somebody that's a kuli alma, not kosher, you're stuck. I want to tell you a rule. Generally, it's not good when you have people who are not religious or even non-Jews and they want to go out of your way to bring you kosher food. It usually ends up problematic. It's better to say, don't bother, I'll eat grapes, I'm on a diet, or whatever you want to say. That's why it's good to be overweight, because that way you can always say, I'm on a diet, and you don't have to worry about it, and they believe you. So, because when they do it, it always causes problems. I get calls all the time for people at holiday parties or different places where they went and they got kosher food, but then when they heated it up, they unwrapped it or something of the sort, and that's a problem.
What's enough community with the utensils?
Well, if you're going to use a metal fork or a metal spoon, that fork or spoon itself is problematic. So Ramesha says, take a keli which doesn't need. Now, there's another thing I looked up. We discussed numerous times the difficult question of buying kelim and being unsure as to their origin, being unsure as to whether they come from a factory that was owned by a Jew. Certainly Becher's or the like, it's likely it came from a factory made where it was made under the ownership of a Jew. But even other things, that it should be a question of Suffolk Brachas Lahaka. Now, there are two issues. One issue is whether you can rely on Reiv. So here again, there's a Tshuva Nigris Maisha, Arachayim Gimel Seif Simin Dalit. He says if it comes from countries that are mostly non-Jewish, you can tevel with a bracha and rely on Reiv. Now, it's not clear that we make Suffolk brachas, we say Reiv. Ramesha means, Bavad Yosef and the Tshuva explains, that there's a rule of called the parish, meruba parish. There's one thing when you have a taruvis and there's Reiv, we have a Suffolk and it's something that's Reiv Tzedadim, and there's something else called the parish meruba parish. That means if something is taken out of its original place, and you're not sure from where it came, the rule of called the parish meruba parish, it says that you're allowed to rely with certainty that it came from the Reiv. So called the parish meruba parish is a halacha that's kaveya with a vadois, and therefore a Moshe says you can make a bracha. The question of corporations which are owned partly by non-Jews, we're going to deal with in Sifir Aleph, which talks, the Ramah talks about a shutfis of a Jew and a non-Jew, so we're up to Sifir Aleph, we're going to get to that momentarily. So we'll get to it in Sifir Aleph. We'll talk about it in Sifir Aleph. Give me a minute. Corporation is partly owned by Jews. I'm sorry. Right. No bylaws, not owned by anybody. It's a strange, it's a very strange shita. There's a shita that corporation is not owned by anyone. It's a very strange shita because If your old corporation is ownerless, then Jews could make a corporation and could bake chametz on Pesach, and there's no problem, it's not owned by any Jew. This is not my time, it is at a time. It's Michas Yitzchak, in one of his volumes, says the first eight shuvas, corporation shaylas, corporations of Gabi Chametz, corporations of Gabi Ribbis, corporations of Gabi Shabbos, one after the other. And generally, there could be those who disagree, the legal concept in American law that a corporation is an entity unto itself, it can't be accepted in halacha. You can't have things that are owned by non-human beings. Nothing can have an ownership of anything but human beings.
And
he's in control, but it's still a separate entity. Okay. All right, at any rate, whatever it is, we'll discuss it in a sefirah. We're going to get sidetracked. Let's wait. Now, the third issue that I looked into, I think I mentioned at the end last week. That's the last thing. The last thing I discussed last week was a machlaikis. If a factory is owned by Jews, but the workers are non-Jews. So we had an idea that uman kaina b'shvach kli, that the worker who's fashioning the kli has certain ownership in the kli, and that therefore, I mentioned to you machlaikis, the kitzer and the chachmas adam held that you need tefillah, the chashulchan held you don't. It was a machlaikis if a Jew owns a company, and the worker is a non-Jew, whether that utensil requires tefillah when it's used by a yid. Again, there's a tshuva in the Igros Maisha, also our Chaim Gimel, Sif Siman Dalet, and he says that today's factories are different. Once upon a time, the person who made the kli was an uman, was a talented man who knew how to fashion kelim made out of metal. Today, it's machinery. The worker pushes buttons, he pours it in, he may have to know what he's doing, certainly, but it's not a case of uman kaina b'shvach kli. It's not as if he's not paid by the piece. Rav Moshe said he's generally paid by the hour. And secondly, he doesn't fashion it in the normal sense of the uman kaina b'shvach kli. Rav Moshe says, therefore, if it's a factory owned by Jews, the kelim that come from there are potter from tefillah. That's besides that the Aruch HaShulchan always holds that way. But in the case of factories, Rav Moshe says that there's a Torah. So to sum up these three things, Pater from Tefila Bechlau, not just Bracha. So again, that is in a sense Saif Yud, but the Taina was that when the Uman is Kaina Bishvakli, if the Uman is fashioning it, that he has a Kenyan. Therefore, it should require tefillah. So that, what? Even so, I understand. But the question is that the arguments of the Taz here that are mechayev. So again, to sum up, the first issue was the issue of eating off a non-tivled kli, which, as I said, I missing a certain amount of clarity. The issue of suffix of a kelim that's a suffix, who manufactured it. I realize there's some who have a meaning not to make a bracha, but again, Ramesh and the Tshuva writes, you can make a bracha. I always try to take it at the same time, at least two different kelim, not two from the same set, obviously, but from two sources, so that makes it less likely that both are actually from Jewish-owned factories. And the third is this inyan of the Ramesh saying that the factories today, if they're owned by Jews, always have a patur tefillah. Sif Yud Aleph. Now, Sif Yud Aleph is two separate dinim, the din of the Mechaber and the din of the Ramah. We'll take them one at a time. Yisrael Shemacha Kli Lavi Kechavim, Bechazav Alakach Mimenu Tzarech Tefillah. A Jew who had a Keli, and presumably it was Tabled, and then he sold it to a non-Jew, and then he purchased it back. Tzarech Tefillah, he has to Tabled it again. But if he gave it to him as a mashkin, he hacked it in a pawn shop, and then he bought it back, ain't tzarech tefillah, because it always had a Shem Yisrael olav, it always had a Shem of a Yid on it. Says the Pischei Tshuva Yud Gimel, I don't think anybody here is in the habit of selling and repurchasing his kelim. However, the Pischei Tshuva points out, Kishamaycha hayaris lavikchavim b'erev Pesach mishum chametz shetzar tefila l'acharei Pesach ulchei mutav shaloi l'maychram chachmas adam. He says that when you sell your kelim to a non-Jew over Pesach, because you want him to own the chametzik of Lias, so there you're creating a problem, because now when you buy it back, that's a kiyum of this mechaber who holds that there is a new chiyuv tefila. Now this issue, even though he never took possession. Now this issue was a very contentious issue for a number of generations. There were poiskim that were mechayev tefila and poiskim that were patid from tefila. The Chachmas Adam and Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, two of the Basroi in these halachis, both say that you're chayev in tefila when you repurchase it from the guy, which is the tshuva brings a chayev Chachmas Adam. That's the psak of the Ktzais, of the Kitzur, I mean. And it's interesting that the Chazon Ish, in his Sefer Amunah B'Tochen, where he talks about the idea in Maimer Gimel, I think it is, he talks about the idea of halacha being chaveya, the hashkafa of a yid. He quotes this as an example of a halacha that I'm calling his lashon she'enam tivin v'hamuskal hashitchi marchika. What he says is that the logic that if you sell your kelim to a guy for Pesach and you purchase it back is not a naturally logical idea. And he calls his lashon is hamuskal hashitchi, the first understanding of such a thing, marchika, would distance someone from such an idea that's called the guy's keli to the extent that you have to title it. He gives that as an example of halacha. If the halacha is it's sold, then that has to be your hashkafa that it's sold. I should mention the Apai trimmed our hashulchan and sivkat nun beis patters, Reb Shlomo Kluger and the Ha'elef L'chashleima patters, and the Beis Yitzchak in the Tshuva, he was one of the Gedalei Europe, and not so well known today, Yitzchak Shmelkish in the Tshuva and Yeridei Tshuva Chelik Beis, Mekuv Samach Aleph Pater. We have a custom that was instituted by Chazon Ish, that in the Nusach Hashtaris that we use today, we sell Habliyai Shebesaych HaKelem. We sell the Nusach says HaKelem She'ein Tzrichen Tvila, and HaKelem She'tzrichen Tvila, we sell the Bliyas and not the Guf HaKli. And it says in the Tshuva, Im Efshar L'maychram, if it's possible to sell it, what can you do on Bliyas? No hard to know. So we say, if it's Efshar to do it, I'm telling you our Nuschais, the bliya, so you give him a ton, okay. And that's the what's the tzad kula, not to tayvel. The tzad kula is the taz, and we'll see in a minute. The tapshach say that a guiding rule in tefilas kelim is shem nachri alav or shem yisrael alav. If people would call it a guy's kli or a yid's kli, those who pater say that the kelim that you sell for Pesach never gets a Shem Goyolov, since it's known that the guy owns it, but he owns it for 8 or 9 days, and you're going to buy it back. So typically, it's not Shem Goyolov, and that is the basis of the Mekilim. What? Imef Shalomaychram. What do we do? Well, we're not sure. We have to. It's funny, you come to Mechiras Chametz, we tell the guy, why does it mean we sell the Bliyas? It means if you would cook water or something else in the Kli, and the taste from the pot would go into the food and it would have value, then we're selling it to you. If it wouldn't have any value, then we're not selling it to you. Then we can't sell it, we're not selling it to you. Then we don't have to sell it to you if it has no value. It doesn't make everything else harama. We specifically tell him that if any part of the deal is for some reason invalid, it doesn't invalidate the whole thing. So remember, we do kinyanim that are machleiksim. So we have to tell the feirish that if any one part of this agreement is for some reason invalid, it doesn't invalidate the whole thing. Yeah, because the rule that something has no value is ownerless anyway. The Rashba's rule, if something has no value, you can't own it. If it has value, then we're selling it. If it has... Well, value is an absolute idea. Value means that there's a possibility of selling it. I don't know that anybody today would buy such a thing. Would buy blues.
No, 100% head blues. Clear charis with no coating on.
Again, the question is if it has value, if the bliya has value. If the bliya has value, you're selling it. If it has no value, you don't have
it's
to sell it.
It's also the Ein Ben Yoyim, which we also say is a problem in time. So whatever was on the market.
The truth is it was only to sell real
time. What happens if it does have value? That's the question. When did the bliya have value? That's why Klal Yisrael used to sell. Klal Yisrael was like to sell it. In the biography of the Chazon Ish, it says that one year they used an old shtar that said the Kelim Asol, and the Chazon Ish told everyone in Bnei Brak who was in the Mechira, they have to tell them the Kelim. So, you know, it was a tumble. And they saw they liked the tumble here. We dislike it. We're too busy, you know. There are football games every Sunday, and Monday night is a game, and Thursday is a game. Who has time for tumbling about kashrus? In Bnei Brak, there's no sports, there's no anything. When there's a tumble, they're very delighted. There'll be machmir and table. Yeah, okay. That's the rabbi. What?
Why do you only turn out?
Why? Why they do it? Why they didn't come up and to say it? It's a good question. Maybe they thought it's like everyone here feels. It's really haram. It's ugly. It's nobody would buy. I could hear the title.
How many kelim in the old days? It wasn't a big deal to
title. All right, let's get to the Ramah. Number two, the Ramah. So din number one is the Mechaber. Din number two, Yisrael v'ayvikechavim shakonu kli b'shutvis ein tzrichen tefila. A yin and a guy that own a kli b'shutvis, even if it was made by a guy, and they own it b'shutvis, ein tzarech tefila. Wow, doesn't need tefila. Why not? Let's just finish the Ramah. Yisrael shagan voya gazlu mimenu kela v'huchzerulai. If kelim of a Jew was stolen and they were now returned, ain't sarach tefila. So it was always the Jews, it doesn't need tefila. Avos sarai maishal sh'ansu Yisrael v'lachu kela v'huchzerulai. But in the days that the sar or the maishal, the government could seize ordinary person's property and he returns it, sarach tefila, the kfar nishtakub yadav kechavim. Then the yid gave up on getting it back, and then it needs tefillah.
So
now the first
used,
din,
they used it.
No, if they use it, you have to kasher it, but you don't have to tefillah.
Right.
Now the case of shutfis. Why should the shutfis be patur from tefillah? It's owned by both a Jew and a non-Jew b'shutfis. Says the Shachavav, Kvar kasafti atam b'sif katan. Now you have chav beis. It should be chav dalet. Bekiyas impresses me. So let's look up at Chav Dalet and see the pshat. Now, if you have the copies, it's on this page, the top line, second line. In Chav Dalet, it's marked about the second or third line of Chav Dalet. It says, "Im came daima li Yisrael ve'kachav shekiblu kli b'shutfis ve'tzarech tevila." Why? "Mitav shekas sham yisav ehetir seifdim peches da bevaday eina yaitzim idei shem tumah b'tevila zu." What's Tevel going to help? Why does it help to Tevel such a Keli? It still has a Shem Akum Alav. Whatever Shem Akum Alav it had before, it has that Shem Akum Alav afterwards. So therefore, says the Shach, that's Pshat Ramah, that's why you don't have to Tevel it.
You should never use it.
Oh, so the Beis Meir goes to town on this. The Beis Meir is very upset with this. What? Because he can't get the shame guy off of it, you're potter from tefillah. Just the opposite. Look at the base mayor, it's on the side of the page. Hatan, you saw the chavon etzar tefillah, hatan b'sevehetem, mishum debevadei eini yaitzim b'dei shem tuma tefillah, b'tefillah zu, darei dan shen shut v'salav, darei b'chavim akam l'shaynei. So that's the sevehetem we just saw. Hine, afkin eskabel din zeh b'eini ha-ramozal v'chol ha-achroinim, ve'einai yifla, to me it's a pella. The mabakat eini yaitza, akati mi hit it l'shtamish bai, b'li tefila. Who said you're allowed to use it without tefillin? Get out the rabba. Name l'chumra, mishum zeh b'emes aser. A gavandik akasha. The whole heter is that it still has a shema akum, so you're not allowed to use it. It's one kasha. V'su hekin nirastaiti, loy mi bai l'shitza paiskim de tefila zudai reis, yesh lahachmir. I'll explain this briefly. There's a machlaikis yesh breira ein breira. You and I own something b'shutfis. It depends what we own. If we own a building b'shutfis and we use it simultaneously, so that has nothing to do with Breira. But let's say we own a car, b'shutfis. We own a washing machine, b'shutfis. When you need it, you use it. When I need it, I use it. There's a concept of yesh breira. Yesh breira means that shutfim own something in partnership. Let's say we make up Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. I use it. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you use it. Yesh breira says, what?
Timeshares.
So yesh breira says that Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, it's mine totally. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's yours totally. That's the idea of yesh breira. Yesh breira is that we designate something retroactively to say that this is what it always was. In other words, if we make an agreement that I have it 3 days, or I have it mornings, you have it evenings, it's mine mornings, it's yours evenings. So now the base mayor asks, the old yesh breira, a shutfus a yid and a guy on a set of china, so when the yid uses it, it's totally his. When the guy uses it, it's totally his. I don't mean a set of china, a set of metal, of silverware. So then, when the guy uses it, it's totally his. When I take it, it's totally mine, I table it. He uses it again, he gives it to me, I table it again. He uses it, he gives it to me, I table it again. So you should say yesh breira. So these are the two very stark akashas of the base mayor. And what? We'll talk about, no, because that's a separate issue of a corporation, a separate entity. Here we're talking about something that's used back and forth. Now, to answer his first... Right. That's the way it's expressed. Generally, it means by a deraisa we machmir on breira, by a drabana we mekel on breira. So, if by a deraisa we machmir on breira, by metal, if you hold metal as a deraisa, then by yesh breira you should be machmir. He explains later. I don't want to get into the whole issue of breira, but he explains. He says that the idea that yesh breira by a drabana, yesh breira by deraisa, just means we're makelim breira by drabana, we're machmer breira by deraisa. Now, the usual answer to his first kasha, why does it help to table it? You table it, it stays the same. So what is it? So the kasha is, so if so, it should be asa forever. The normal accepted answer to that is the following. We discussed in the past that tefilas kelim is a mitzvah sasei d'oraisa. There's no iser d'oraisa to use a keli that's not tayvel. Mishnah Berurah said that it's a derabanan, and Yeshua Siakev, I mentioned, held that way, although they are chayokim. But if you hold... using it the use is not the issue. It's a bittul of the mitzvah to tevel it. It's a Mordechai. The Mordechai says, you have tzitzis, on Shabbos your strings fall off. So now you're wearing a four-quartered baguette with no tzitzis. The Mordechai says, there's no issue d'iraisa in continuing to wear it. Why? So it doesn't say in the Torah, there's an issue to wear a four-quartered baguette without tzitzis. It doesn't say that anywhere. It says that when you're wearing a four-quartered baguette, you have a mitzvah to put on tzitzis. A Shabbos, you can't put on tzitzis. You can't put on tzitzis, so you're allowed to wear a four-quartered baguette. The Mordechai holds, and the Ramah brings it, it's the Miyad Gimel, that this actually, I mentioned some Sefer disagrees. But to answer the Ramah, we're answering with the Shita that holds the use is an Issa D'Rabbanan. Truth is, even if you hold the use is an Issa D'Rabbanan, it's only because you could tevel it. If it's a situation where it's impossible to tevel it, so then the argument is that the use shouldn't be asa. That's pshat in the Ramah. The issur of using it, whether it's the Raisa Drabbanan, is because it needs tefillah. Whereas efshut to tevel it, it's not physically possible, because the shutfus goyim yid, tefillah doesn't do anything. So mainly there's no issur of use. Tevel Shabbos in Yantif, we said not to use it. Yeah. But there, min ha-tayra, you could tevel it. What? Okay. Yeah. Lachidami. So here. Okay. Fine. Okay. So then it's fine. So you agree. Yeah. Well, they're too big. They're not too big. You could tevel them. It's just a pain in the neck. You have to rent a truck and go down, and it's just a hassle to do it. You mean the very big ones, the like you said, the big vats that you can't tevel. In Achinami, the Chachmas Sadam didn't use that heter though. It's interesting. The Chachmas Sadam in the first Pesachei Tshuva dealt with these big players, kalim that you store wine in. They're too big to tevel, and he didn't use this heter. It's takamashu. I like what I'm saying. You can't tevel. See, but there it's a physical thing that you can't tevel. In theory, it's possible to tevel. Here, it's in halacha, it's impossible to tevel. It's a legal concept. You can't tevel. Yes. Right. But then you're saying a chiddush. So Tommy, you just said a big chiddush that you're saying the Ramaz Maida, if you're sharing it back and forth, then you have to title that every time you get it back. That's what you're saying. It's not impossible, it's possible. He gets a Sunday by the Tuesday, you get a Wednesday. Look, it's a set of silverware. That's normally the way you use it. We're talking about food camera. All right. But you say gebichay the chiddush that anytime I know the guy used it, and then he gives it back to me, I'm going to have to tevel it. If I do know every time, I have to tevel it. That's what you're telling me. It's a chiddush. It's a chiddush. Yeah. Yes. That's the thing. It is physically possible to tevel. It's just la yuchlu kol meim shavaylam with the lashon pesachei tshuva. They didn't have cranes then. They didn't have all these things. But you're right. It's theoretically it is possible to tevel. Meshaken this, which by definition you can't tevel. Okay. It's only because there is it is a drabbat. It's only enough kamina for kavod abriyas. But here, the argument is that here. You're saying the Hishmi is a drabbanon anyway. That's what you're saying. But perhaps. Only takes off the deraz.
That's what he saw.
When I acquire a car, and I have in mind that my acquisition will be 99%. 1%
will belong to the guy. That's how we store it. L'chayra. The gedar shut v'sakum is l'chayra any amount. I mentioned that when we sold the kalim in the bakery to the guy. The guy paid for it. I don't think the guy was ready to give me a couple $1,000s. So I told him to give me $5. I don't remember, maybe I told him $10. And he'll acquire a shutfist and all the kalim in the bakery. And he gave me the money. I didn't give it back to him. He acquired a shutfist and everything that was there. It was only a shutfist. It's only 1%. So, nachinami. So we're going to get to that in Sif Tezayin. There is such an idea that it might work. I don't want to get into it because we're going to get sidetracked again, but we'll get to a Sif Tezayin. It's not a Tavamid, it's his Maskana. His Maskana is you don't have to title. He says because it's not going to help, not going to help to title it. It's a guy's Kaylee. You tevel it, it's still a guy's keli. So why does it help to tevel it? Teveling only helps if you remove, if the shame guy went off of it. The shutfis. It's a shutfis of a yid and a guy. You tevel it, it's still a shutfis of a yid and a guy. What? Right.
So therefore, whenever you take it back in the
guy, that's the
next
page. Okay. That's right, we have a good kasha. I'm asking to you. Why do I not think? The Ramah may have held that on the guy's chelik, it's called borrowed from a guy. You borrow from a guy, you don't have to tithe. On the yid's chelik, it doesn't need tefillah. On the guy's chelik, it's borrowed from the guy. So maybe he held that that's not going to help if you buy it from a guy, b'shutfis, because then the yid's chelik still needs shutfis. It only helps if a yid made it, and a guy in the yid are b'shutfis, on the guy's chelik, you're a shayel. But it doesn't help, the Ramah. The Beis Meir is a good kasha, which I tell you. It's a very stack of kasha. He's arguing with the Ramah. He says, Avshar Ramah and Kol HaPoskim don't bebeina, you flood the Mabakat. That's the Beis Meir's taina, which I tell you. He has a stack of taina. Well, that he wasn't Samech on that. That has to do with whether Hilchis Tzolmin, Hilchis Tzolmin, Hilchis Tzolmin, Hilchis Tzolmin, which itself is, it was the suffix of the Yad Ephraim, Sifei. I don't want to get into it till Sif Tezayin, but you have to remember, If a guy has a kli and he lends it to you and he forgets about it, one minute. Even a guy owns it 100%, he gives it to you as a mashkin, or he gives it to you and he forgets about it, and you don't have to return it because you hold it tzafkas alvasai. When it's nishtakeya shem ha'akum, when the ownership of the guy is forgotten, that's called shem Yisrael alav. And then, according to most poskim, it's chayav in tefillah. So this whole harama of selling it to a guy is only better than nothing, but it's not really ideal, because once it's nishtakeya shem ha'goy alav, we said by a mashkin that the yid is chayav in tefillah. So it's really not an ideal situation. Send him an email once a week and remind him. Okay, this there are modern have email, so nowadays, okay. Text message, good.
In the case of if the Yid Miyai should have pulled, and he gets it back after
this, that's a good question. If the Yid is totally Miyayish and it becomes the guy's, then maybe, you know, that's a machlaikis if Yish Kedi is kind of by Geneva. But it's true, if the guy took it and he sold it, the Ganav sold it, Shini Rishus, we changed it somehow, then he would be kind of then Achinami, then it would need to.
That's how it's not called Shini
Rishus. Right, Yish itself, Kinyana Geneva are only for responsibility. When a Ganav is kind of something, he's responsible for it, he doesn't have a right to use it. Sifyud Beis. Oh, 1 minute. One more thing. This is going to get you excited again. Let me just finish. This is it's an interesting shaila. Here, listen to the shaila. But listen, let me finish. I think someone was ma'ir this last week as well. You have a becher. It was made by a Jewish company. Geschmack, you buy a becher, you don't have to title it. You bought it in Walmart. You bought this becher in a store that's owned by a guy. 1 minute. The halacha of Sifyut Aleph was, if a yid has a kli, he sells it to a guy, and you buy it from the guy, you're required to title it. Isn't that what just happened? The Jewish factory made this becher, or you know that a certain silverware is made by a Jewish factory. It was sold to a non-Jew, the merchant, and you're buying it from him. L'chaira, that ownership in between should be mechayev tefila. So what? It was owned by a guy in between. Now, Rav Moshe, the corporation. One second. Okay, Rav Moshe in a tshuva does write that he's mesupik. If the din of sifyut aleph is only by a kli that was made by goyim, and a yid bought it, sold it to a guy, tivled it, sold to a guy, bought it back. Or even kelim that were originally manufactured by a Jew, because you need dumya de kli midyan, the Torah's obligation of tefilas kelim is kelim that were originally made by goyim. Maybe kelim that were originally made by yidden are not dumya de kli midyan, are not in the parsha of tefilas kelim, and therefore Rav Moshe is mesupik, and he says to tevil without a bracha, because. He's not sure if the svara is correct. This is in Igris Moshe Yeredei Gimel Tshuva Chaf Aleph. And therefore, he has a certain level of suffix in this chiddush. If he says, if he would have a makar for the chiddush, he would be more comfortable with it. But it's a svara without a clear makar.
There are some establishments that only pay the manufacturer once.
So that would be misnaver. If they get it on consignment, and Walmart, I understand, not only pays upon sale, but it takes them a number of years to get around to paying, is my understanding. And everyone needs them so badly that it doesn't matter. It does matter, but you sell to them anyway. It could be in such a case that he's no more than a shliach. If the seller is obligated to take back whatever isn't sold, it may well be that the buyer only has a din of a shomer. However, I think the way it works is that if, let's say, I manufacture kelim, I give it to Walmart, and a shoplifter steals it, they have to pay me. They will have to pay me. Even though a shomer has a ptur from, I don't know, here's a shomer, sachi b'chayev ha'geneva aveda, but on Einziv at least, he'd be potter. And here, he's going to be obligated to pay me. If he doesn't return it to me, then he has to pay. So it's not clear that it's not his, if he's responsible for it. But it could be that the halacha is that if I give something to a shomer, I make it tanai chayv on ainsim, he's still a shomer. So it may be that the svara is a good svara, that if it's given on consignment, that a person doesn't have to tie. Well, as a matter of fact, I would be comfortable to even say that it, at least for glass, that you could be simach on it. Rav Moshe holds anyway that it might be potter. And here you have this extra svara, at least by glass, you could be comfortable to be mekel. Yeah.
If you hold that the klis chayre by goyim is not mechayev, then every factory is always a klis chayre as long as the goyim don't make it to use it themselves.
It's always klis chayre. It's true, but it's still those rishonim that hold the Taz brought that klis chayre is part of from tefillah.
But it's by goyim. Only
if a guy makes it for himself. Yeah, if a
guy makes it for sale. Then it's also, without that, for
example. No, a guy is always part of from tabling. You mean it's not the keli? So the yid is making the kli. I don't know, it's a hot sara. The yid is making the kli. Every time Uman kind of bishvakli, it's not a kli schaira by him. It's only, he's not even allowed to use it. Uman kind of shakli is not allowed to use it. So it seems it's not that way. As long as he makes it as a kli suda for someone else, it's already mechayev and tefillah. You see that clearly from the woman's kind of a shakli.
In the case of like the store, is surely
yeah, still, it doesn't matter. It's only a tour that the yid's not mechoyev, but the minakli is still a minakli. Let's go to Sif Yud Beis. Tzarech lahatfil yada keli. Finally, an easy sif, no mefarshim. You're obligated to tevel the handles of kelim. Anybody? No kashas on that, no? Tevel the handle of the keli? Some sefer has a problem. Some Sefer asks. Some Sefer has a rule that Dinei Hagolas Kalim and Dinei Tfilas Kalim are in the same parsha, the Halachas Atoli Zebizeh. So he says, one minute. Let's say I have a pot with a metal handle, and I cook treifus in the pot. Does the handle become treif? Let's say it's one piece. Does the handle become treif? We had a machloikis of Cham Miktsasai Cham Kulai. If you say that when part of it gets hot, that the handle, which doesn't get hot, that's why it's a handle, the handle is there because it hopefully doesn't get too hot to handle, that we had a machlaikis, if you say cham mitzase cham kulay, that the bliya goes in the whole thing, the Ram always makel, a cham mitzase cham kulay. The bliyas don't go into a handle, you only have to tevel the kli. So the Chasam Sofer asks, if that's the case, you should not have to tevel the handle, just like you don't have to kasha the handle, if it would be a case of treifus. You shouldn't have to tevel it if it's a case of tefilas kelim. If you hold of the chasam sefer hanocha that hagolas kelim, tefilas kelim, atoli zebizeh, so then what's his kasha? Then why should it be chayev in tefila? That's what chasam sefer's kasha.
Isn't the kula of chasam kulay only that it doesn't go back?
That's the Magen Avraham. The Ramah just says this part. The Magen Avraham says the bliya goes in but doesn't come out. So for practical,
I would say that it's all the same. For the tevelling half the kli and you can't tevel half and then tevel the other half and you can kasha the other half.
All right, so I don't know if you meant it this way, but in the Sefer Tfilas Kalim, they answer some Sefer's Kasha. And what the way they learn Shad in this Ramah is, Be'etzem, the handle is Pata from Tfilah. Be'etzem, it's Pata. But Taich Tfilah is Tivaling the whole thing. Since the Taich of Tfilah is to Tivale the whole thing, but mainly you have to Tivale it, because the handle is attached to the Kali. It's one piece with the Kli. You can't Tivale half and half. And therefore, you have to tevel it in such a way. Obviously, if the handle could be screwed off, according to this, you can remove it and tevel it. You might as well just tevel the handle, right? You don't gain anything. It's more of a tircha to screw it on and off. So you might as well tevel it. But in theory, that would be good enough. What?
You should have to take it off.
It should be a chatzitza. But Beis Hastarim is not a chatzitza. We have the rule that something that's normally covered in the normal use of something, there is no chatzitza. Therefore, the tiveling of the kli with the handle, that's how he answers this kasha. So according to the Mechas Yitzchak, that the water has to envelop it totally, that's why you have to tivel the handle. You have to tivel the whole thing. To explain to some cipher, he might have held like the Ramesha. Ramesha I mentioned about the urns, he held you could turn it upside down and tivel just a part of it. See, he may have held like Ramesha, some cipher, that you only have to tevel the part that's required in tefillah. The other half, you can leave the handle sticking out. That was his kasha. But to answer it, to answer the mechaber, we can answer it with the other sheet. The lemaisa, you have to tevel handles. I'm telling you, svaras like this and like that. Mechaber says, tzarech lahatzel yedei hakeli. Therefore, you do have to tevel the handles of kelim. Sifya gimel, tzarech lahavir achaluda kaid mitfilah. You have to remove the rust, slav dafka rust, any chatzitza, has to be removed before tefillah. If you're loy heavier, you're makbid olav chaitzitz. So we have this rule by tefillahs kelim that miyutai ha makbid chaitzitz. If it's on raiv, certainly it's chatzitz. even without makpid. But miyutai hamakpid is a small amount of chatzitza in makpid olav chaitze. It's from shishif and nasa begachalim. V'nishar adai ma'at shal chaluda shul yachal lahav yor adai kach. If you rubbed it and you put hot coals on it, you can't get it off. Have a miyutai she'eni makpid olav ha'ina chaitze. It's a chiddush. Really a makpid, you'd love to get it off, but you can't get it off. So your choice is either throw out the kli or use it with this dirt. Since a person would normally, and you and yourself included, would use it even with the small amount of dirt. So in such a case, it's not chaitz. I had once a question, somebody had sort of a cupcake baker utensil, and it was marked with the price with magic marker underneath. And there's a question of anybody's makbid, but this person tried to get it off. It was an indelible magic marker. They probably got it, you know, from one of the teenagers used to spray paint or something, right? And you just couldn't get it off. You rubbed it, you couldn't get it off. So that's his halacha. Something which you just can't get off, and you can use anyway, so that's miyutai she'ena makbid. A miyutai she'ena makbid is not a chatzitza. So this is a klal gadol. People always ask about the labels. Somebody tables something. Now, if the label is meant to stay on, like the manufacturer of a fancy crystal, that certainly you want it on. But even if there's a price label, you're titled with it on, if it's something you would never be makbid, and not you, your wife, the lady in the house, would never be makbid, she couldn't care less, if it's such a thing, that's miyutai she'enei makbid, l'chatchila we try to take it off. But once you titled it, a miyut, she'enei makbid, that you'd never be makbid, even if chashuv a guest came, you would use it. So such a thing is b'di'evan harachatzitza. It's an important rule in tefillas kelim. It has to do with not only tefillas kelim, but tefillah of human beings also, that there's no mutashed emakbid. B'di'evan is not a chatzitza. So that's the halacha of Sif Yud Gimel. Sif Yud Aleph, ending with a bunch of easy simon. Miyutai, yeah, the Gemara says that Rubai Umakbid is Dairaisa. Miyutai Umakbid, Rubai Veina Makbid is a Drabbanan. If you follow the Minatayra, it's only a Chatzitza if it's Roiv and your Makbid on it. Rav Chaim Briske had a very sharp kasha on this. Rav Chaim Briske asked on the Dairaisa. What's the Dairaisa? If you have a person or a keli that has rubai umakbid, then it's a chatzitza. And midrabanan rubai ve'enai makbid miyuta again rubai ve'enai makbid is also you have to title it. So Reb Chaim asked. If you have one without the other, either one, either it's Raiv or your Makbid even on a Miyut, it's not. So Chaim asked that every Rubai Veina Makbid, once the Rabbanan said you have to title it because of it, so it should blive a Makbid, it should blive a Tefillah Dairaisa. Because once the Rabbanan said that it's Makiv, if it's Rubai, even if you're not Makbid, it should become a Rubai a Makbid. So if it's a Rubai a Makbid, so then it should every Rabbanan should become a Dairaisa through the Rabbanan. So he answered that when you have Rubai and Eina Makbid, you become a Makbid only on the part that goes over 50%. That small amount you're Makbid on. The rest of it you don't care about. You only care about, because it wouldn't have 49%, you wouldn't have to tevil. What's Mechayev the Tefillah is the 50th percent. So he said that when the Rabbanah made a Gzeira on Rubai and Eina Makbid, you become a Makbid on a teeny bit of it. That teeny bit is Miyutai, which Minotari doesn't matter. So the Mela, it stays with Rabban, and Reb Chaim has such a. Okay, Sif Yud Aleph. Miyutei Hamakbid? No, Chas V'Shalom. It's not a Safik, it's a Vadai. When you have Machleiksin, you can be Mekhlon Drabbanan. It's Halacha Psuka. Miyutei Umakbid, positively Chazal made a Gzeir. Even though it's a Gzeir and a Drabbanan. But it's for sure. When you have Machleiksin, you can be Mekhlon. When it's a Vadai, you can be. Where the Reb Chaim is? Pia Shmua, I don't know. It's the stam of the Grach al HaShas. I would guess it's the Grach al HaShas. Where? Tefillas Kelim is in Avay Dezara. Maybe I'm looking at Avay Dezara. Or maybe it's in the beginning of Sukkah, by the Sugya of Tefillas Kelim. The beginning of Sukkah Erevin.
So why
is
that
Mishu
Mishnah Kalmir?
What?
That Mishu Mishnah Kalmir from the start of the Omni, from before.
But that doesn't mean you were not makpid. It's rule by vein makpid.
Yeah, you said that it's makpid, that's not the mir.
Yes.
That means we start with 49% is not makpid now. Which will be
49%. Okay, let's leave it. We can argue about it. But I want to see Sif Yudalid. Sif Yudalid, it sounds easy, and it's actually in the Klolim of Shas, a difficult Sif. Halach lemais, it's very easy. Eimaminim katan al tefilas kelim. You can't trust the katan to go and tevel a kli. You tell your child, go tevel the keli, you can't trust him. Even though we seem to see katanim are more reliable than teenagers. But Chazal give an emunis to somebody who's a gadol, not someone who's a katan. Avalim tovnoi lefnei gadol, have a tefilah. But if he tevels it in front of a gadol, it's getaveled. And Sif Teslov is the same thing about a guy, lahavdol. Both Sifim say the same thing. It's funny, Mechaber Ramah sort of switched their roles in the two Sifim. But we learn here, what's the Chiddush? Shach and Taz both say, the Chiddush is, that Tfilas Kelim doesn't need Kavana. You don't need Kavana to Tevel. You couldn't trust a cotton or a guy on Kavana, and you can't check on him. It needs to be Tevel. If it falls into a mikveh, it's also good. So that Tfilas Kelim, if a Yid is watching that the cotton or a non-Jew tevels it, that's fine. But halacha doesn't give nemanis to a katan or to a guy. Now that is sif, as I said, in and of itself is a simple sif. The question here becomes a very difficult one. I guess I'll pose the question, we'll get back to it next time. The question is, what are the rules for trusting a katan? So look in the Gra. The Gra is sif katan lamed zayin. I'm sorry, lamed vav. He says rules which create some sort of a problem. Eima minim, a katan is not trusted. Why? The tefilas kelim deraisa, because tefilas kelim is a deraisa. Kamesh kastam the gemara shavu chay pasku roif paiskim. The katan b'meshe ina biyadai ina demanapid rabbanon. Something he himself cannot do. A katan is not believed even by nesid rabbanon. Kamesh shamru b'say perik beis diksuvis veilu nemanim avam kutnam loy. Kain perik hay de'eravin afilu eved av a katan loy. When is a cotton believed? Biyadai, he's able to do it, and a derabanan, which means that tefilas kelim is biyadai, he could tevel it, he's believed only by a derabanan. Shechting a chicken, you give a cotton a chicken to go and bring to somebody, that's not biyadai, he can't do shechita. So that, he has no nemanis at all. What? If someone's watching him, it's not a question of trust, because you can see he's doing it. But the question is about sending a cotton to the store to buy something which, well, the cotton's in a package, you can see the Hechsher or the brand, there's no Shaila. You send a cotton to buy a Danish. He comes back with a Danish. How does he have a nemanis that was bought in a kosher place? It's biyadai, and it's a deraisa. So this child of a deraisa. Now maybe you'll say that in Brooklyn and Flatbush, where's he going to go? Within a normal radius, it took him 5 minutes to go and come. There's no tray for day, maybe. So let's say you're in Manhattan. There's stores all over the place, or in many other cities. What it seems here, there's a technical problem. And the problem is even more serious, because you have to remember that for deraisas, you need 13 years plus shtei saris. So for deraisas, the question is, why nemanis does this cotton have? You send it to the store to buy. All right, he's buying fruits and vegetables, there's no problem. It's all kosher. If he's buying packaged goods, there's no problem. So it's very, today, there are very few items that are problematic. It's mostly baked goods, or you send it for meat in a store. Now, if it comes with a label with a siman, it's good. But you send it for a pizza. It comes in a generic pizza box. So how is he believed to have a nemanis? We're saying b'deraisa, he has no nemanis. So I'm going to have to leave you in suspense on this topic, Yitzhak Hashem. Now next week, I'm not going to be here Sunday morning.